This is the 1895 Podcast, official podcast of Shelburne FC, bringing you news, views and interviews from inside Talca Park, Dublin's finest since 1895. Here's your host, Stephen Doody.
Hello, welcome to the 1895 Podcast, the official podcast of Shelburne Football Club. We are brought to you by Go Loud. Go Loud is the home of Irish podcasts, whether it's Talking Bollocks, Stall It, Hold My Drink, if you're that way inclined, Go Loud will look after you with whatever it is you are looking for. Coming up on the podcast this week, we're going to review a disappointing night in Zurich last Thursday. We'll also review a comprehensive win for our Women's Premier Division side against DLR Waves. And then will come the previews. We'll preview the second leg of the FC Zurich game at home in Talca on Thursday. We will preview a massive cup game for Owen Whirran's team this Saturday away to Galway. And we will preview what may or may not be a league decider. I will look for opinions on that one. My co-host, my work wife, the other part of me, Ben Cleary, how are you?
Hello, Doody. I'm very well. Little bit of a change in scenery for us. You know, last week was in the sun from the outside the hotel in Zurich. The week before, a marina in Gibraltar. This week, back in the box room.
Yeah, I'm currently looking at the walls of my spare room, my box room. Box rooms, of course, known to be frequented by an awful lot of League of Ireland folks. We'll probably come to that as well at some stage because I'm not in particularly good humour, Ben. I'm sick, I'm not well, and you can probably hear it in my voice. So I do apologise for being even more nasally than normal.
Just adds to the character. Maybe you can just give a few country songs, dude. You could turn into a good country singer with that rasp.
Yeah, but then again,
you and singing.
No. That is not for this podcast, I can tell you. That's for the end of the season show. We'll review that at the end of the season.
The highlights, or in this case, a low light.
Don't think it could get any lower, to be totally honest. Two things I do want to mention right at the top in very good news, club-wide. Megan Smith-Lynch, of course, was welcomed back into first-team action in the last week for Owen Whirran's team. It's great to see Megan back after a long-term injury. She will offer an awful lot in this run-in, hoping for a League Cup double. So great to see Megan back in Talca. And also Dahi Folan, after a long, long, long layoff, after a horrific injury. Brilliant to see him back on the pitch. He came on against his old club, who we don't normally have nice things to say about, but he got a really nice welcome back onto the pitch by both the Shells and Balls players. So great to see Dahi back. I'm sure we'll probably see him involved around first team squads soon enough as well. So welcome back to those two. I think it's important we give them a special mention because the amount of work that goes on behind the scenes coming back from injuries like them shouldn't be glossed over. Ben, let's start with probably the most raw thing at the moment. Switzerland, more specifically Zurich, a 3-0 loss for the Reds. Take it away. Give me your thoughts.
Well, look, it is a hard one to take, I suppose, because you obviously want to go over there and give a good account of yourselves. And in a weird way, I know obviously fans of other clubs may think this is a bit silly to say, but I think we did give a positive account of ourselves as a team because you were there, Doody, and a wise man said at the end of that game, if you don't have character, if you don't have the mentality or the bottle, that's a 6 or 7-0 game.
100%. And it was very doom and gloom at the time when that particular, very, very important person within the club, we won't name him because I don't really think he likes to be named, so we'll stay away from that. His name will get dropped eventually at some stage, more likely by accident. But for now, we'll leave him in the shadows. He did say, when it was very doom and gloom, when the final whistle had just gone, said, basically what you've said there, Ben, if you don't have character, if you don't have serious balls about you, you lose that game 6 or 7-0, especially after the start we had. And it's hard not to agree with it. Like, we did, look, when you concede after, many seconds was it? I was in the middle of trying to sort out bleeding commentary at the time.
That's a whole other shit show.
Oh, yeah. We won't mention that war just now.
How long did you have? God, he died.
It's all going in the book. It's all going in the book. But yeah, look, when you can see it after such little time gone in the game, and the manner of the goal, I mean, it was a fairly shy goal, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was just one of them where I just, no disrespect, I think people just maybe weren't as switched on as they should have been. I think it was just like, it was very direct. It was down the wing, cut across the box, and it was in. I feel for Conor Cairns. I think he got a touch on it. I think he got something small on it, but like, you can't really, there's not a lot you can do about a goal like that. Especially when it does come so early on. And then it's kind of one of those where your head is in your hands and you're like, this is going to be an absolute massacre, because it's so easy to fold in on yourself and basically capitulate under that kind of pressure. You have the, like, there's no way you can look at the home support there and say they're not a massive factor, because the atmosphere, especially from the home fans in the opening, was incredible. There was a whole lot of them. And in fairness to the away bodies, like, they made themselves heard. They didn't stop from the first minute, even with that happening. Like, they really got behind the team. And I think that kind of helped in spurring them on and kind of try and stay positive and go for it. I think the mentality-wise, when you listen to the manager after the game, it's incredible, because he's just, one of the first things he said was, yeah, no, you kind of love a game like that.
Yeah, that was an interesting one. I was actually I went into the press conference with the kind of local media after the game. I think you were actually out getting set up for the club interview, but Tuffer was really like, I think a lot of managers would have approached that post-match in a very kind of, ah, look, you know, we're dealing with a team with a crazy budget compared to ours, you know, facilities compared to ours, European experience compared to ours, and there was none of that. It was very much like, it's actually interesting. I'm gonna be a bit of an arsehole, Ben, but you said there about the first goal, like, there's nothing, you know, you can't really help a goal like that. So I'm gonna give you a chance to renege on that. And while we're not trying to hang people out to dry, it's a really bad goal to concede. The three of them were really, I thought. The third one probably least so.
Well, I just, like, when I say there's not really much you can do about it, as in, like, I just don't think we switched on straight away. I think we lose the ball quite early. Like, the manager mentioned it, instead of taking two touches, three touches and playing our game, it was kind of one touch gone, and, like, there was a sense of maybe a little bit of panic in there, and I think that's what we're undone by. I'm not shying away from criticism. I think the lads are their harshest critics on themselves, so I think they'll know that they weren't switched on for that.
Yeah, that's actually funny you say that about the players and, you know, their kind of attitude after the game. Again, I think a lot of groups of players or staff would be real kind of, you know, ah, look, they were just brilliant. You know, they were quicker, they were stronger, they were just better players than us. But there was a real sense of, like, it felt like we'd lost the cup final or something after the game. I felt.
Yeah, that's the closest. That loss is probably the closest I've seen to the feelings after the cup final. Like, we, obviously, there after cup final, there after that game, it was just, like, I think it stands to the manager, the mentality that he has instilled in that side, and the staff as well. Like, they're just not happy to settle no matter what. Like, it is that kind of siege mentality. It was us against the world, no matter who it is. And it's like, they're just not happy to settle. And even, like, afterwards, you're like, ah, sure, it's only, when you talk to players or staff, it was, sure, the job's not finished. That's only the first half of the game.
And yeah, it was funny. One of the local journalists asked Duffer something along the lines of, like, you know, you're 3-0 down, you know, the tie is probably over. What do you do from now? And the manager was very, you know, nothing's over. You know, what's the point? You may as well not bother showing up to talk if you think it's over. And there was an awful lot of stuff kind of on social media as well around, you know, oh, it's been a great European adventure. You know, this was a bonus. You know, we didn't expect to, you know, being in the second qualifying round is probably a step further than what we thought we would have been at. I don't know whether I've completely bought into the attitude maybe that, like, this is a seriously resilient team. We've gone through some real setbacks and come out the right side of it. There's no room for sentimentality in anything anymore, I don't think. Those days are gone with us. Those days of, you know, ah, look, isn't this great? You know, ah, we drew balls in the cup. Great, let's have a good old time and, like, enjoy this. That's all bollocks for me now. I say we get at these on Thursday. Yeah, I say we rattled our cage and fucking, like,
I 100% agree with you. Doesn't, like, and I think that mentality is around. Like, I think a lot of people, yeah.
And I understand it. I do understand people, you know, oh, this time so many years ago we were in Fahey's Field or we were in Drum. I do. I get that. I completely get that. But
you have to understand where we are now. It's not about where we were. It's about where we are now and where we're going. That's the important bit. That's what we should be focused on. Like, it shouldn't be, like, look, you obviously remember where you came from. You remember those games and how far you come. It's nice to consider that. But you have to, at some stage, start looking towards the future. Oh, it was nice to get back in Europe. Great, but we want to be here every year.
So 100%.
It's nice being here, but you have to understand that this is our level now. And it's time to think about kicking on and getting behind what's in front of you and not looking at what's behind you.
Hear, hear. Where did you stand on the starting 11? Then it was one of those we talked about on the day of the game. We weren't sure what way the manager and Joey and Davey McInnes were going to approach it. It was probably a conservative enough starting 11 in terms of, you know, it was a back five, really. Were you surprised at that? Well, no, you weren't. You can't be surprised because you predicted the back five, didn't you?
Yeah, I think I said that exact back five to you. I don't know if it's actually on the record. I don't know if I said it during the pod, but I definitely said it either before or after. Maybe I said it during, but I was fairly certain that's how we were going to line up, just with the Gano suspension and him being missing from the game. I thought that's probably how we'd be at our strongest. I think that's kind of in terms of keeping the ball and trying to do something with it. I think that would have gave us that extra bit of security. So I did kind of think we were lining up that way, but I don't know if it... I think, weirdly enough, we were actually a lot better in the second half when we played with a little bit more freedom. I don't know how you'd feel about that.
Yeah, I felt like they kind of... Not that they backed off or they kind of, you know, thought the race was run, but they certainly started to leave little gaps. And when they did, and I have to say, obviously, Boydie came on at half-time. Tariq went off. They did not like playing against Boydie.
No, an absolute handful for anyone. And like they were a big, big team. Like, I was in the tunnel. I walked out past them so I could stand there and get the shot of the players coming out. They were absolutely massive. I don't think anyone realises.
No, like, and because of where the camera is in that ground, it's so far away that the camera wouldn't even pick it up. But people will see for themselves now on Thursday. Those boys are giants.
So, like, someone like a Boydie in against you where he's just pressing, he's not giving you that extra second on the ball. Like, I think we've been the same from the first game of the season here, dude. Justice for Boydie. Like, he deserves a lot of credit because he works really, really hard. And I think there was a chance where I thought he was going to nick a goal. Will Jarvis beats his man on the left and he cuts it back. I think the keeper gets a touch, knocks out for a corner, but like, he really made a nuisance of himself.
He did. There was little flashes in the second half where what were the two, Katic and Krejcu, I think, were the two centre backs. Like, I think when they seen Boydie coming, they were like, ah, here, we'll get into this lad. And I think they wanted a bit of a scrap, if that makes sense. And that started to free up little pockets then for the likes of, I know Jarvis got a bit of space in the second half to run at people. Cam was able to get a bit higher up the pitch and get involved a bit more. Now, not by much, you know, we were still fairly dominated, but there was just little glimpses. And the guy, this is probably a bold show, I'd love to see us start with Boydie and John Martin on Thursday.
And just go straight
at just go at them, kick the shit out of them and say, here you go. Like, you're not going to have it the way you had it in Switzerland.
I 100% agree. Go out with the no free hits mentality and just bash into them.
Yeah, and I think, physically, those two centre-backs more than capable of dealing with John Martin and Boydie. But I think what it will do is, as I said there, they centre-backs are weird creatures. Like, they like a scrap. They don't like a centre-forward getting one up on them. And I do think you could really throw them off kilter by sending a Boydie and a Martin up there and let the scrap happen. And, you know, you don't know what will happen after that then. You know, you could get somebody on a yellow. You could, you know, win a set piece. You could do anything. But one thing's for sure, and I have this written down here, you can't go into it really open. Like, anyone who thinks we're just going to come out from the first whistle and go gung-ho, that'd be
a
disaster waiting to happen, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that's ridiculous. I don't think you could think anyone would do that, because then you literally are throwing away the tie. Like, if you are patient in your build-up, you work hard and you work for your goal, like, if you get one in the first 20 minutes, like, it could be a different ball game. Like, it could be a case where you could really go for something here. I think just throwing the kitchen sink at them from the first minute is not good for anyone.
No, and I think the other thing is, look, this has been talked about an awful lot. Stewie Byrne would often mention it about, again, we're going back to the past, but when Hadrick Split came to Talca, Stewie was adamant that those players did not fancy that. The crowd was on top of them. Look, I have a weird kind of outlook on that. Like, the Split were playing in front of manic support every single week, but I think it's more the surroundings. Like, that stadium was a really nice mix of luxury, and there was a bit of kind of character, a bit of soul in it.
Yeah.
And I think when you take that, like, we were joking after the game saying, I can't wait to see their media people come to Talca, because, like, they have a media centre in the Letzigrund and it's like state of the art stuff. And now they're going to come to Talca where they might get a seat up in the quote unquote press box. And, like, I think that could rub off on players. I think the players might kind of look around and be like, Jesus, this isn't what, you know, I'm used to.
But as well as that, I think another factor could be, like, they will have supporters on top of them. Like, they will be getting the abuse. And I'm not saying they don't get that in any other grounds, but, like, it's not that close. Yeah, it's a very tight setup. So, like, I think that's a factor, especially if the atmosphere is anything like the last two games in Europe. Like, the Joseph's away support was incredible. Joseph's home, again, they made Talca an absolute fortress. Like, if you have that kind of support again, where it's just constant singing, it's going to be tough.
It will be. I remember I interviewed Gano after, I can't remember what game it was, but it was in Talca, and I was asking him, like, about the support, and he mentioned to me that it was lovely to be playing in front of the Riverside and not be getting dogs abuse. Like, he was saying, it's a rough old stand to play in front of. And, like, I'm sure the lads will brush up on their Swiss German and there'll be a few choice words said around, but that's what you have to do. Like, it's dark art stuff. Just
any
do whatever
edge.
We can. Like, do whatever we can to throw them off. Like, look, is it likely we qualify? No, it's highly, highly unlikely. But I'd love us to get something from the game, even if it's to score, to get a draw, just something, because I think the players deserve it. I really do. And I know, look, people say, oh, like, I beat 3-0 in Switzerland, but, like, you can vouch for this, Ben. They were gutted at that result. They were absolutely gutted.
Yeah. Like, you genuinely would swear that they've just lost a cup final, with the way they were after the game. Like, they're a lovely group. They're usually very chatty, very, like, they're really nice, but, like, they were hurt. It stung. Like, you can tell they didn't enjoy that at all. Like, it wasn't a sense of, oh, we're in Europe, we've come so far, look at us. It was, no, we're professionals. It didn't go our way on the night. This, we don't like this feeling. This can't really happen again. That's what I got from it anyway.
Oh, yeah, I totally agree with that. 100%. There was a really nice moment after the game with the travelling support who, I mean, can't say enough good things about it. My brother, my dad, my nephew were in it. It was to be heard in that ground. Like, those Zurich supporters were in the ground an hour before kickoff, singing and jumping and creating an atmosphere. And for the lads to even be heard was very, very impressive. So
yeah, that's a feat in its own right. Like
that. Yeah, it was amazing. And like, even the, I know you would have been over there yourself and Darren because you were getting footage of it. I wasn't. I was kind of over at the halfway line, but it was, again, not to sound cheesy, it was quite emotional because I think the players were so desolate, but yet the crowd were so positive and hyped up and happy.
They were supportive. Like, they got behind their team. The result was secondary. What their team, like, they could, you could see the effort on the pitch. Like, it wasn't like they went in and found in a performance. Like, they gave their all. They really, really tried. Like, it was never going to be an easy game, but not once did they give up out there. And with a scoreline like that, it probably would be easy to give up, but they didn't. So to come over and get that kind of reception, it's great for them. It was, again, a little bit emotional seeing it, just because, like, everyone was there saying, look, Shelburne top of the league, and really trying to spur them on for, look, two massive games to come.
100%. There was another huge game on Saturday in Talca. The Women's Premier Division side got a comprehensive 4-0 win over DLR. After having, look, we spoke already, Ben, about stop-start. You know, it's that league is so, you know, no game this week, then we've got two games, then we're off for 2 weeks, then we've got a game, and it's so messy and difficult, especially for a new manager and staff to try and get momentum. But a 4-0 win, comprehensive, no fuss, but just as important as any other game, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think, look, especially with the results previous, I think, look, a defeat last time out in the All-Ireland Cup, it's like that could easily be a game where you go in and it's a team that aren't really hitting their best of form in DLR, but you need to have a positive reaction. And obviously we got that in spades, like an unbelievable reaction. I think it's very fitting with Pearl getting a goal, because she just, no matter what, she'll just carry the team through anything. Great finish as well.
Oh, tell you what.
Striker finish.
Yeah, right? I think was it Rebecca Cray joking online saying they were rolling it all the way back to when one was a striker, one was a number 10.
Yeah. What,
like, talk about composure.
Yes, like some finish, like, Pearl loves to nick a header or hammer at home, but that was real composure. Like,
it was, yeah, it was 100%. Great. And I just like that there's goals coming from everywhere. Obviously, Christy Gray went on to net then as well. So you're kind of getting goals from all over the pitch, which I think is massively important, because if you become too reliant on one area for goals and then you get an injury or a suspension or whatever it might be, like, you can find yourself in real trouble. So I just love as well, I love an emphatic home win. Like, 4-0, good luck, job done.
That's comprehensive. That's a, like, that's really, it's a mark of champions there, I say it.
Oh, Jesus. Well, right. Speaking of mark of champions, Athlone were beaten by Piemont as well, which leaves the Reds and Athlone joint top. Oh, excuse me, my illness.
We're excused.
God. Yeah, joint top with Athlone. Galway have kind of fallen away, but Piemont just clinging on there with that win.
Yeah, have Galway lost three on the bounce, isn't it? Like, they've
really
had a bad go over the last few games. So, That just makes the cup game even bigger, I think.
Yeah, look, speaking of cup games, you've kind of segued into it there. This Saturday, it's a 7 o'clock kickoff. It's away to Galway and Terryland. If you're planning to travel, buy your tickets online. You'll get them. You'll find a link on the Shell's website or any socials, or you can just go direct to the Galway website. You can pick up your ticket there. But does it have a bit of a different feel now than it did kind of 3 or 4 weeks ago when Galway were top?
I think so, yeah. I think it's like Galway, I think, are going to be hurting, especially with their league form. Like, it's not, like, it's very dangerous playing a side like that now, because it could be a bit of a wounded animal mentality where they just come out and throw at them at you.
Yeah, I'd worry that they could be looking at it as, well, right, we're probably, now they've 2 games in hand still in the league, so look, they're far from out of the title race, but I would worry that you'll get them now in a mindset of, well, maybe the league might be one step too far this year, but we could have a right crack off the cup.
Yeah, and that's just, that'd be dangerous.
But then, like, we're a difficult team to beat. Like, we've only conceded one goal away from home in the league.
Yeah, it's two in total, isn't it?
Yeah, two in total. Like, we've only conceded once away, which is an insane stat. So, look, I would imagine the group would be going there very, very confident. And they obviously had the game during last week against Rovers. Look, didn't go our way, but it's, I don't know what it is. I can feel a cup run. I can feel a double. I don't know what it is. It's just something there. There's some,
I think it's really,
I do. And I think it's all coming together. That squad is a great mix of youth with experience, of flair with just a bit of grit.
Yeah, we kind of touched on this throughout the season. Like, it is great to see. Like, one thing that Noel and his setup had was, he was never afraid to look to the academy. He was never afraid to look to underage sides, and he was never afraid to look to the youth. And it's great to see that kind of continuing. Obviously, Katie McCann notched her first senior goal, wasn't it? And Hannah O'Brien came on for a debut.
Indeed.
So, like, that's just massive. And it just goes to show the hard work being done in the academies. And it shows, I suppose, how good that side is in terms of nurturing talent and welcoming them in, because you have people in there, like, you have your people that have been around a good bit, like your Pearls, your Alex Kavanaghs, your Noels, like people that have been around that side and been around that setup, welcome them in. Like, you've no better people to learn from.
No, you don't. And you also, Owen Weirin, I think, was a good way to bridge the gap, because he obviously worked in the academy, so he knew a lot of those younger players anyway, which always helps. The bit of familiarity will always make it easy for young players to come through and flourish. So, yeah, it's all looking rosy in the garden, the Women's Premier Division side of things and the Women's FAI Cup. You heard it here first, league and cup double. Right, Ben, before we move on to the Derry game on Bank Holiday Monday, I have a very simple question for you.
Oh, dear.
Is there a danger that we roll over on Thursday at home to Zurich?
No.
What makes you think that?
I just don't think the manager would let it happen.
Yeah, I agree. I wanted to put it out there. Yeah, I think a huge performance is going to be important on Thursday, because even going into the Derry game, like, we're backs against the wall in that game, because don't forget, there's no Tariq, no Paddy Barrett. So, like, I do think we need a performance Thursday to carry into Monday's game.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, you need to go out there. And I think the lads will want to give a good account of themselves. And most importantly, the manager and the management team will want a performance. Like, there's no phoning in with this squad. Like, it's all or nothing.
Yeah, it is, 100%. Yeah, look, the Derry game, sometimes I forget how far into the season we actually are at the moment. Like, we've played 24 games. There's not really all that long to go. We're 3 points clear with a game in hand. So the question I'll put to you, Ben, is this game on Monday at home to Derry a must-not-lose?
I don't know if I'd go that far to say, like, if you lose, everything is dust and, like, everything is gone. But I think if you do go out and you do get the 3 points, you do win it, that goes an awful long way. Especially, look, Derry, their European run obviously left a bit of a sour taste. They came out and I think they aired their frustrations. But I think if you kind of catch them with a bad result, they can very easily, like, that kind of snowballs a little bit with that side, I found.
Oh, yeah, I think the big thing, Derry, everyone seems to ask the question at Derry is, like, you know, do they have the bottle kind of thing? Like, the consensus, the general consensus, not within their club, but just in the media and stuff in general is, you know, do Derry have that steeliness in them to put together a proper title run? And I know a few journalists have been quoted saying, like, even if Shells drop points, are Derry really going to be able to make up the points? So yeah. I say we go out Monday and, like, I there's no danger, I don't think, that we'll approach the game in a let's not lose. I think it's full on. You go out, you get your 3 points, and then you really are saying to Derry, right, what are you made of?
Yeah,
100%. Look, in terms of team-wise and starting 11s, look, Monday seems a long way away. You know, we have a massive game Thursday for us to worry about. But how important is no Paddy Barrett, no Tyreek?
I think if you had asked me 2 or 3 months ago, I would have said something completely different. But look, you have people coming in, you have the likes. Like, I think Cam will obviously more than likely slip into the left fullback and you go in and place a Tyreek. I think that's pretty much a like for like change. Obviously, Tyreek can give you a lot technically. He's really good at on the dead ball. His underlapping runs are, like, his link up play is really good, but Cam offers an awful lot. And I think Cam will come in there. Obviously, you have the Griff back is like a new signing. I think he's really finding his footing again. I think he had some bright spots in the last few games where he's looked really assured, really positive. And Sam Bowen coming in as well. Like, there's bodies there. Whereas maybe not so long ago, you'd worry, I think. But I think we do have suitable replacements, if that makes sense.
It does, yeah. I'd imagine you're going to have a back four, and the back four is going to be Gano as a right back, Cam as a left back, and then Sam Bowen and Griff. I would have presumed. Now, that's presuming, touch wood, everyone gets through Thursday, of course. I was thinking there, if we did manage to qualify Thursday, we still play that game Monday, don't we?
I think so.
That could be a really tight turnaround. But, like, the manager is very adamant on this and he has a real stance on it that don't give me excuses about, you know, playing 2 or 3 matches a week. Like, you're professional footballers. That's what you want to do. That's what you're here for. This is where the likes of Amaro will really come into his own in prepping the players and having them raring and ready to go. So,
Mero, I think, look, we give Mero a lot of credit here, but it's fully deserved. Mero works very, very hard. And I think having him, like, really stands to the squad. Like, I think he does a lot of, like, I think what people would look at and see is thankless work. Like, one simple thing that he did was, and I found it hilarious, was every time there was any kind of stoppage, even in the train, and he was like, okay, hydrate, make sure you're hydrated, stay hydrated, flinging bottles of water everywhere. And, like, he's worth his weight in gold, I think.
He is. And I think I've seen, from being around football a little bit, you kind of learn that, you know, there's more to strength and conditioning coaches than, you know, doing the warm-up on a match day. Like, there's way, way more to it than that. But I think from being kind of around and, you know, we were lucky enough to be around the group a little bit over the couple of European games, like, Mero doesn't stop.
No.
like he is constantly, like if you're on the bus, he's on the laptop. If you're like after having something to eat, like he's gone off to either put together plans or make sure people are doing their bits and pieces. After training on the way back, he's mixing up drinks for people, staff and players alike.
He never stops. Like I've never seen him sit still for a second. Like he's just constantly, but he's constantly looking after everyone else.
Yeah, he is. He's just constantly on the go. I seen the video as well. It was put together the day in the life with the academy, which is a great video, great insight. If anyone hasn't seen it, and like he's there as well. You know, like he's everywhere. It's not just he's training with the first team. He's everywhere. So yeah, I like to give Mero a bit of love on this podcast. I think it's important.
It's earned. It's not deserved. He's earned everything.
Exactly. Yeah, and I think, again, the players all talk about, like in their interviews and stuff, work rate and, you know, the standards, the staff set and, you know, the attention to detail. It blew me away. I have to be honest. You know, not that we're bleeding, sitting there, you know, over the manager's shoulder, but you just see stuff from a distance and you go, geez, there is no stopping. Like, they do not stop as a staff. It's constant. On the go, the laptops are out, the iPads are out. Like it's relentless. And I know Duffer mentions in a lot of his interviews about needing 24-hour focus. I see what he means now.
Yeah, no, it makes a lot of sense. Or like the odd time where you'd hear, I'll have that match watched twice before 1 a.m. and you're like, right, hell, no, he will.
Yeah, that is not like a figure of speech or something. Like that is legit. That's 100% legit. I think the manager puts that stuff ahead of even just eating and drinking at times.
Yeah, like they're absolutely relentless in their approach to games, breaking down games, what they can do to get better, what they've done well. Like they're just the detail, the level of detail, the level of, I think, respect they have for themselves as a staff and the players. It's incredible.
Yeah, and I've been around people who like would be on the back of a like that 3-0 defeat away in Europe and would kind of take the foot off the gas a little bit and be kind of like, oh look, you know, this is probably done. You know, let's do a bit of work on Derry or Galway for the cup game or that. But like straight away it was like, no, how do we improve from that game? Like what, that wasn't good enough. We didn't do enough for the goals. We should have defended better, we should have done this better, should have done that better. Like people will probably think that everyone is like that, all the staff and all the clubs are like that, and they're not. I can tell you that for a fact, they're not. So it's no surprise how good we've been this year, really, with the staff setting a kind of an example like that. Ben, we're coming up on the 40-minute mark, and what do I say to you before every single podcast?
40 minutes in and out, and then around 40 minutes, we still have about 20-odd minutes of waffle to get through.
Well, we don't have all that waffle to get through. We've touched on all the games gone before us and the games that are coming. What we do need to do is our Richie rankings. So, do you want to start this week or will I? Have you got your Richie rankings?
I'll give it to you.
You want me to start?
I'll throw it to you.
Right, my Richie Baker is going to be, and this is a bit of a niche one because nobody will know who I'm bleeding talking about, but Michael, I think the chap's name was, he was the media officer for Zurich.
You bollocks.
He was unbelievably sound.
You've done it again.
He couldn't have done any more for us. He was so helpful, just a nice fellow. Everybody involved with Zurich was like that, to be fair.
It was really nice to deal with a lovely professional setup, wasn't it? not firing any shots at anyone in particular, but it was great to see a nice sense of professionalism and common courtesy, I suppose.
Yeah, and I cannot wait to see them in Talkit. Well, if I get to see them in Talkit, but I can't wait to see their reaction when they see Talkit. I think it's going to be great. My Richie Winter for this week, I know the boss, Darren, has said it needs to be a specific person. I don't know who's in charge of fines in UEFA, but I will give it to whoever pulls the trigger on the fines in UEFA. Not for the fine that we got, That's okay. I understand that. I see where it's coming from. But for the blatant double standard that you can't sing a song about something, but you can make extremely aggressive gestures towards travelling supporters, and that's deemed okay. I won't say any more on the topic, just in case. Ben, give me your Richie Baker and your Richie Winter, please.
Yeah, that's pretty good, dude. I'll give you that. You've done well this week.
I have an honourable mention for my Richie Winter. Conan Byrne came out and said that he thinks Rovers are going to win the league. That's an outrageous thing to say.
What?
Outrageous. He said it on LOI Central last week. You must have missed the discussion of this because me and your brother discussed it on the fly. A ridiculous show. Incredible. If Rovers were to come back and win the league, everyone may pack it in. What is the point?
Yeah.
But yeah, there's an honourable mention for you. Go ahead. Sorry, I cut across you again.
It's okay. Richie Baker. Who am I giving me Richie Baker? Who's it? So you can't really give it to Mero. He's got all his loving, so you can't really give it to him. Who's been really good, Duty? I can't remember this chap's name, and it is going to come across bad. I think it could have been one of the Lucas, maybe. There was a lad that in Jorick that does their social media stuff, again, part of their media team. He does their video content, and I got to speak a good bit with him, and he was showing me his stuff. Really helpful fella. Really, really nice. Again, really professional.
Was it the really happy fella?
Really happy fella, yeah.
Thierry, I think his name was.
Thierry, was that it?
I think that was him.
He was lovely.
He was the guy that was setting up the pre-match press conference with the video. Yes, he set all that up, and then he forgot to unmute the journalist for the question. Yeah, Thierry, his name was.
Because, again, lovely fella, very professional, but when he was like, when the manager opened the press conference, obviously cut out of the one that went out, he was like, right, there's no one going to say anything. Are we done? Can we go? And he goes, I have forgotten to unmute. Whoops.
I'm very supportive of that, Richie Baker.
I'm a big fan of that. I think I don't want to be too salty, but I think I'll have to give it to, is it Marchesano? Is that how you say his name?
Yes.
Like, Antonio Marchesano, I think that's how you say his name.
What, are you giving him the Richie Winter just for being good, is it?
Yeah, I think so. But I don't want to be salty, but like, I don't know.
His finish.
Yeah.
Oh, the finish for the second one was class.
You know what? I watched it back. It takes a bobble up.
That makes it even better for me.
That's what I mean. Like, that's what has annoyed me. Like, it takes a little bobble up to him. You think he's going to lose control or miss hit it? No. Oh, I don't think so.
I also enjoyed their striker, Juan Perea, thinking he's a Sean Boyd type. He was going around trying to throw his weight around, and then he ran into Paddy Barrett at one stage, and I think all bets were off then.
He got floored, yeah. I enjoyed that now. Mark Hoyle also floored someone as well. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, I think Hoyle just got pissed off at one stage. I was like, here, somebody's getting it.
But I think, yeah, just for being so good at football, I think I'm going to give it to Marchesano. Don't, like, you took my one, the double standards, it's just insane, isn't it? Like, the photos, the videos, everything. We don't want to say too much on it, but hopefully it's being looked at. I know, I think it was Dan McDonald said that for now there was nothing to update on the matter, but hopefully, look, sense will prevail and something will come out of it, you'd imagine.
Fingers crossed. Ben, thank you as always for being here.
It is my pleasure, Duty. I think as we were saying when we were in Zurich and away, work wife, I'd see him more than I'd see my actual significant other. And I'm sure your missus is the same.
Yes, absolutely the same. So Thursday, 7:45 kickoff. The game is sold out. You won't get a ticket. If you want to watch it online, Solid Sport are streaming it. You'll find all the details on the Shell social channels. Adam Leonard and the great Shelburne legend Stewie Byrne will be offering up commentary. And our Women's Premier Division side have a massive game on Saturday night. It's away to Galway in Terryland Park. It's a 7 o'clock kickoff. Again, it'll be live on LOI TV. And if you're planning to travel to the game, buy your ticket online. Again, hit up all the Shell social channels, or you can go directly to the Galway United website.
Duty, just quick one for you.
Yes.
Because you're out with an injury and you're not suspended, obviously, will you be part of the team news? Like, will we get an update on you?
Do you want an update now?
Yeah, how are we feeling?
I've had to rush this podcast to an end because I didn't bring any tissues into the box room with me. And my mustache at this moment in time is acting like a cobweb or a spider web. And my toilet seat has stayed warm all day. We'll leave it at that.
So Duty is, we'll put you down for doubtful.
Duty is struggling. I'm a broken man. I'm a very, very broken man. So if you don't see me in Talcott on Thursday, it's not that I haven't bothered my arse. It's that I do not want to give this to anybody that's important. Is that fair with you, Ben?
Yeah, you're very considerate. Thanks for the update. Great updates as usual, Chris Kamara.
Piss off. Goodbye, Ben. Thank you.
Goodbye, Duty. Up the Reds.
Thanks for listening to the 1895 podcast, the official podcast of Shelburne FC, Dublin's finest since 1895. Don't forget to give us a 5-star rating on Apple or Spotify, and subscribe now to never miss a new episode.